But this is the hangout, so we're supposed to hang out. I have a coffee. It's St. Patty's Day, and I don't have anything in it but milk.
So. That's, oh man, it is St. Patty's Day. I should totally be doing something.
Isn't it weird when you're like an adult and you work for a living, like St. Patty's Day stops being this event?
Crazy booze fest?
Yeah.
I can't even have too many beers tonight because I have a 9 a.m. hair appointment tomorrow. So,
man.
I said that to Adam earlier today and he was just like, that is the worst, girliest excuse for not drinking beers ever.
Yeah. Yeah. That is pretty, although it's fine. You know what? You want to be available, like in your top peak condition for getting your hair done. Because if they do it wrong, then you can't correct them because you're sloshed.
It's not even that. It's like, there's so many like chemicals and you have to just like sit there and be hot and uncomfortable. And I can only imagine like if I was feeling all hungover and pukey, how bad it would feel. Cause my hair appointments are like 6 to 7 hours long. So. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Did you just 6 to 7 hours long?
Mm-hmm.
Like Ashley gives me like a buzz cut and it takes like 20 minutes, which is, is almost too long for me. Like I was like, I'm getting antsy. Like, I gotta go back and play video games or something. What do you do for 7 hours?
You like, just sit there
talk?
And people like play with your hair. I don't talk to them too much because, I just don't.
So you don't talk to them. You just let them play with your hair.
Well, it's one of those things where I just don't have a lot in common with the people doing my hair. Like, I can't talk about video games with them because they have, like, they don't even know what Twitch is. So it's like, well, that's pretty much my life. What's new with you?
What you should do before you go to your hair appointment, download, like, a hair management studio app game. One of those games where you have to, like,
manage. One of those time management salon simulator things.
Exactly. Then you don't have to talk to them about video games. Just pretend that you manage a salon out of town and you're, like, you're thinking of moving and thinking about, like, scoping out the competition. I don't know. That sounds terrible. They'd probably kick you out. Or they'd probably, like, do your hair wrong on purpose.
Probably.
So, you know what the fantastic thing is? We're doing this through Discord now, and I can see that Jimmy's playing Stardew Valley. And I know he can hear me, and I know he has Discord running, so technically he could alt-tab, which Stardew Valley, we didn't talk about it last night, but Stardew Valley is very alt-tabbable and very pausable, you know? It's very Caden-friendly, so I know he can pause it, alt-tab, switch into his proper channel that I know he has access to, and then jump in here and discuss said game. Because if you haven't touched Stardew Valley yet, have you?
I haven't, no, and I probably won't.
You remember Animal Crossing?
So, yes, I do remember Animal Crossing. I thought you were going to say Harvest Moon, Harvest Valley, Harvest something. And I was going to say, that one I never played.
Yeah, I have not I've not played any Harvest Moons, and I know that's one that that Jimmy has used to sort of describe it. And I totally see it, because Harvest Moon, I know of it, but I don't know. Never played it. Just didn't look. It didn't appeal to me. But Stardew Valley just feels. When they said Animal Crossing, I can totally see the Animal Crossing appeal. Like, there's collections. There's like finding what they call geodes that you can get processed at the museum. Or no, you can give them to the museum and after you've processed them. But it's just a really good, like, laid back. I don't have anything else I want to do right now, and I want to just zone out. You know. And it seems Jimmy, I was able to convince him to do things like call in to our hangout and tell me how right I am about Stardew Valley being a great game. Unless his mic might be broken, but
I was gonna say, and Jim, that's your cue. What's your question?
Discord, what are you doing? We gave you a shot, and then this happened. I can't remember if Jimmy's had issues with Discord. Okay.
I had it on push to talk because in Rem's channel you have to have it on push to talk.
Rem has a Discord channel? How come no one told me this? Am I not invited? Is that what's happening?
Yep, you're not allowed.
Damn it.
No, it's there. It's mainly for a stream and such, so that's where it gets advertised.
So I have to.
You can join it up.
I have to check out her stream. I haven't been doing a lot of. I haven't done a lot of Twitch stuff in the past. I've always been like a YouTube archive type person. Just because I'm an on-demand type type guy. But when it comes to Twitch, I do appreciate like the live shows. I should, because you know, I do a few of them. But Joss, are you bored? Are you just hopping around? What's going on?
I forgot when you click channels, it moves your thing. Like, I just wanted to like see the details of the channel, and it popped me down into the other one. So I just, sorry.
I just realized that I have to turn off notifications when I'm recording, because all that sound isn't going to come through. but I'm just going to turn that off. But yeah, I can't just mute everything. What the hell? Discord, Skype is ever coming sooner. But anyways, I've been really enjoying Stardew Valley, and it's just kind of like a zone out, one more turn type game, because the only way you can save it, and correct me if I'm wrong, the only way you can save it is by sleeping, right? Just going to bed.
That is true. Yep.
Okay. That is kind of unfortunate, because sometimes I just want to have to save halfway through the day because I need to run or something, and I always feel bad.
So just go to sleep.
Well, I always feel bad going to sleep in the middle of the day. Like, I don't like doing that in real life.
You could just, if you just bring up the, you know, inventory, which it pauses it, I'm pretty sure you could just leave it there, like, in stasis, and it would be fine.
Oh, okay.
I want to comment on something Tombstone said in the chat. He said people could be scared of picking it up because those guys don't have a great record of keeping up with the games, referring to Starbound.
Ooh.
What Tombstone's actually talking about is Chucklefish, which is the publisher. I don't know how involved they are with Starbound's development and such, but they have absolutely nothing to do with the development of Stardew Valley. It is all Concerned Ape, which is just one single guy.
And I mean, man.
Who has been absurdly good about patching and keeping up with stuff and doing updates and fixing things since, like, well, literally the day of release. Including, like, actually people's corrupted save files that the game screwed up because of bugs. He was having them send them to him, and he'd fix them for them. Which is just crazy. Right. So I don't think that whatever issues Starbound has had would have anything to do with Stardew Valley in the future.
Okay.
It is all about Concerned Ape.
And yeah, you never want to get in front of a Concerned Ape. Like, they'll come at you.
And
that's a great company name.
He's been incredibly good at supporting his game. And I mean, you read interview stuff, you can tell he's just so dedicated to it. And he's probably a millionaire by now because of it, so he certainly has incentive to to keep going with this. Keep it going, yeah.
It is a game that I feel is complete all on its own. I'm not very far. I've sort of just scratched the surface of it. And there's a couple pointers that I've been meaning to talk to you about, and this is probably the best place to do it, considering we're both on a call and we're live and we're going to spread the knowledge around. So I'm early on.
We can make Jocelyn's eyes glaze over.
Well, no, I don't I don't want to get too technical. I feel like this knowledge, since she's not going to play Stardew Valley, she could use it if she ever wanted to start her own wheat farm, like in real life.
In real life?
Yeah, just, you know, because really it's great, Jocelyn. Like, you wake up early in the morning. It would get you up early in the morning. You could, like, water all your plants, and then that's all you have to do. You just go back to bed, and you can have a couple hours nap and then do your streams. It would actually be the perfect way to, you know, and then you could play Stardew Valley on your stream, and you could just do farming all day long. That's a terrible idea. Don't do that.
It sounds really boring. I'm sorry, guys. I know everyone is obsessed with it right now, but
yeah, it's
not my thing.
It's totally a game.
I think you might enjoy it, but you know, if you don't think you'll like it, then why try it?
Well, yeah. If you're I can totally see this being a game that if you even have an inkling that it's not something you'd enjoy, then you're probably right. This isn't one of those games where it's like, no, try it. Trust me. It's not one of those like, oh, I hated it. I thought I would hate it, but I actually loved it. I think you have to kind of have an interest in these time management type games to jump into it. And the question I have, and we won't spend a lot of time on it because, like, there's nothing worse than glazing over half the hosts on the show. But
Kazen has some questions for you as well. So
yeah, exactly. But the one question I have, and one question that could probably help a lot of players starting out in the game, is what should I focus on? Like, I've been using the goals, and I think I'm going for my chicken coop. And
like you do,
because you need to house chickens, right? Like, that's right. What a farm is. Chickens. What should I do for money? Like, I've just been planning everything and just sort of grinding my fields, you know. Like, what do I need to do?
Yeah, the crops are what's going to give you the most money. Animals are... I mean, you can get a chicken coop fairly early if you want to, but it's not going to give you a lot of money early on. Main thing is crops early. Try to, you know, when you have money, spend it on seeds. Do as much as you can keep up with as far as, like, your stamina, because watering is a pain early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it will get easier once you get good sprinklers later on. But yeah. Besides that, I mean, you want to do some fishing, get your fishing skill up. And the thing is, you don't want to neglect the mine. Have you gotten to the mine yet?
I'm, like, level 20 in the mine right now.
Okay. Okay, good. You, by, like, winter of my first year, my first playthrough, I was, like, level 15. I was not doing the mine, and it really hurt because you get, like, at first you get copper ores in the upper levels.
Yeah.
Then lower you get iron ore, then gold ore, and that's really important for crafting stuff like good sprinklers, a lot of other things that make you a lot more money from your crops and animal products later in the game. Like, I, like, wasted a shitload of money buying ore from Clint because I just wasn't anywhere in the mine and I really wanted to craft some stuff.
Right.
So that's, okay. I think, the big thing. Try to, you know, do your crops, do some fishing, talk to people in town, all that stuff, but do not neglect the mine.
Okay, perfect. And one last thing on Stardew Valley. I can confirm that... I can also confirm that Jocelyn is falling asleep. But this is,
I'm just teasing.
I know, but I'm not teasing. I am completely honest. Like, talking about Stardew Valley, it's like all of those games. It's boring to hear about. Like, I'm boring myself, but I have to say, in Stardew Valley, it continues the trend of terrible video game fishing. Is there a video game that does fishing and makes it good?
I kind of like the fishing. It is tough at first. I will say that. Mm-hmm. You get used to it, though, but it's...
Fishing, I mean, in real life is pretty slow and pretty
watch
boring.
It. So. Watch it. We don't want to piss off the fishing community. That's the last thing we want to do.
It is, though. You put a line into the water, and then you wait. Like, and you have to be quiet, because you can't scare away the fish, so...
Right. Well,
I mean... Yeah, doing that in a video game, it's like, how do you make fishing fun when the activity it's based on isn't even that exciting in real life? Like, it's time-consuming, and it's slow and quiet. Like, maybe not, like, saying it's not fun, that's not fair, because there are a lot of people that enjoy it, but it's definitely a slow and calm and quiet activity. So to try to put that in a video game, it's, I'm sure, very challenging.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I felt was about Stardew Valley is, like, that is what it is for me. It's my fishing, like, in, like, how people fish in real life, that's their quiet time. And Stardew Valley is my quiet time game. Before that, it was probably, you know, Hearthstone was my quiet time game at one point. And then it got super frustrating and I was really loud and then it stopped being quiet. But, you know, Stardew Valley hasn't done that for me just yet. Maybe when I get further down, although I got a little further in the mine and I promised this would be the last thing. The damn moths, they come at you and they're so hard to kill. Yeah, they are some resilient ass moths. You got a sword.
Have you tried lighting them on fire?
I have a sword, Jocelyn.
Have you tried lighting your sword on fire?
No.
By the way, you can buy stuff at the Adventurers Guild,
uh-huh.
Like new weapons and stuff, so that might help a bit.
I have a level 2 sword, and I'm going to be honest, if those monsters are that big, that a level 1 sword, let alone a level 2 sword, isn't killing them in one swipe. Those are some strong-ass moths. They can stay in the mine, for that's for sure. Yeah. That's probably enough Stardew Valley.
Yeah, I'll say about the fishing is that I think it does grow on you.
Yeah,
it's a fun little mechanic. It's better than just, like, throw a line in the water, wait, click a button. Hey, you've caught a fish.
It doesn't take long either.
This has some skill involved, especially with the harder fish,
because
they have, like, different difficulties.
See, I do feel like that would be something I would enjoy, because, like, I'm of two minds when it comes to fishing in video games. I like fishing in Warcraft when I just want to sit and chill and do not much, but the reason that I kind of, I don't know, the reason I do it is because you have to do it so many times to skill up. Like, I really wish you didn't have to cast 5 times before you would skill up 1 point in Warcraft. Like, I would rather, like, cast one, catch a fish. Okay, you caught a fish, have a skill up point. Having to actually do something that involves skill feels like it could be cool. But I didn't like when I had to try to do something in Zelda, actually in Twilight Princess, when it was the motion control and you had to actually, like, yank the fish. I don't know. I felt I could never do it in Twilight Princess. I was so, so bad. So I feel, and I don't like quick time events, like mashing the A button and stuff like that. So I don't know how you would do something skillfully while fishing. I don't know. Maybe it's something that would be kind of cool, but
I don't have your hatred of motion controls on Wii in general, but there's definitely various instances in games where they make things like overly stupid or complicated mm-hmm. for the sake of being a motion control.
Yes.
I certainly see how a fishing would be like, let's make the fishing realistic. Oh, wait, this is fucking garbage because I'm using a freaking controller to mimic fishing.
Yeah, it was like, I think you had to, like, cast it, and then you had to yank it to get the fish on, and then you had to, like, do this, like, up and down or something like that to, like, mime the like, reeling it in. It was awful.
Yeah, that's bad. Okay, yeah. I'm going to pop out so Casey can get in here.
Perfect. Thanks, Tim.
Okay. Yep, bye-bye.
All right. Hopefully this doesn't scare him, because when you pull people into Discord, it does.
Yeah, it doesn't give them any kind of notice.
Causes them discomfort. So we can just hang out until he responds. But so yeah, Stardew Valley. That's a game that is. It's not for everybody, and I am just enjoying it sort of as a side project, sort of play when I can. And the one thing I think that would turn a lot of people off is that the progression feels very slow. It feels very grindy. It feels like you're not being rewarded quick enough. Or given enough quests. Like the first quest, one of the first quests that pops up is like build your chicken coop, but it's like 4,000 gold, 300 lumber, and 100 ore. And if you're not grinding that stuff, trying to get those items, like it can take a while. So it feels like you're not progressing fast enough, at least for me. But I don't know. It's a solid game, and someone said it's $10 on Good Old Games, which is a steal, because I think that must be on sale at this point. So. I think I heard Kaz in there. No, maybe not. Kazin, can you hear us? No, it's all good.
Apparently not.
So if not interest in Stardew Valley, what are you? What have you been playing?
I'm here, guys.
Oh, yay! We did it. How's it going?
Yes.
We can hear you. Huzzah.
It's happening. Uh-oh.
No, we can hear you. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Weird.
I know. It's so weird.
Maybe it's a push-to-talk thing?
Maybe it is a push-to-talk thing. Oh, almost had him. This is amazing radio right now.
Oh, he says it's a super delay.
Oh, weird.
Okay. I don't know what's happening right now, but I'm probably going to be talking over you here really quick.
Okay, well, go ahead. We'll do our best to compensate. Apparently there's some kind of like delay or something.
This is so weird.
Are you listening through the Twitch? Because if you should close the Twitch and just use Discord. Maybe that's what's happening.
Yeah, because there's definitely going to be a delay between Twitch and Discord.
Maybe it is Twitch. I don't know.
He must be listening on Twitch. And then, yeah, because there shouldn't be any delay in Discord.
No. I don't know.
Okay, so what do I need to be watching to match up the video and hearing you guys versus me talking?
Oh, okay, so you need to close the Twitch, and you should be able to hear us through Discord. You should be able to hear the sound of our voices as you see the green circle around my voice right now as I discuss things.
Yeah, you won't actually be able to see us through Discord.
Yeah, that is something that Discord is working on, but for now it's just easier to have people join in, because before with like the Skype contact request, and while Kazin certainly sort that out and give us just jump in anytime when it's good. But for those listening, we do have a Discord server. It works really well, and this app just totally blew it out of the water for me.
Okay. Like,
well, if you can, yeah, go ahead and just say your question, and whatever the question is, we'll answer it. Or you can type in the chat, but. Either way.
Okay, sure. So I've got kind of a few questions for you guys.
Perfect.
First one, and I know I've already asked Joss this like last week, and it's kind of such a bummer I can't hear you guys, because I really would like to get your guys' input. Maybe I'll just jump on Twitch and kind of hear it retroactively. But Pony Island. And I know that it sounds so dumb and it sounds like such a weird thing, and I don't know if either of you have taken a look at it yet, but it is an experience that you will not regret. It's not something you would expect, and I've been totally wanting to geek out about it with somebody for a while now. It's $5 on Steam. Absolutely, like, check it out. I would love to hear what you guys have to say about that. But here's kind of my main first question. I was playing Fallout 4 for a while, and it was such a fun game that I really got sucked into, because I've got a son myself. I got a little baby. So getting into that first quest was really, really kind of meaningful for me. And it made me want to go through the main story a lot quicker than I normally like to go through RPG main stories. When I got to a certain point in the game, I don't know if you guys have played all the way through, but you get to a certain point where you have to like kind of choose between the three factions. And I was running with the Railroad, and I ran into the Institute, and for certain reasons I kind of wanted to stick with both, and it was trying to force me in one direction, and I kind of lost a little bit of interest, but then I decided to go forward anyway. And that was when I found out that a certain something happens, and I thought maybe I could direct the Institute in a way that might be better for everybody. And then at the end, it gets so drastic that you have to choose one thing, and I ended up just going through with it to complete the story. But it turned me off so hard, because it was so against what my character would normally do. So I was wondering what you guys had as an experience that way, if you kind of had the same negative experience, or if it was totally different for you guys.
Well, we've kind of, I think, touched on something like this with a couple of different games. Just basically the idea of story and adventure, kind of like any of these games where you have conversations where you're given kind of the illusion of choice. And then by the time you actually get to the end, because they're funneling everyone so hard into one specific place, often it feels like you don't end up having the choices you think that you should, or there's no good choice for your character. And I think it's something that a lot of games struggle with, because they want you to feel like you're having an individualized experience. But at the same time, like, especially if there's going to be sequels in the future, like, they need to get you to a certain spot. And I think that's something that XCOM did really well, according to Ryan, because regardless of how you ended, they took something that was like the bad ending and made that canon and kind of went from there. And Until Dawn is another example where, even though everyone ended up in the same spot, the experience of getting there was different, and you never felt, or at least I never felt, like I had to compromise my character in order to get there. Ryan, what about you? Because I know you are way further than I am in Fallout 4. So did you have the same sort of like faction experience?
The thing with Fallout 4 is it felt like they tried to make a game where there was a three-way battle happening between factions without realizing that they were creating this sort of unfortunate experience for players, because I don't know, in a game of choice like Fallout or any of those open world RPGs, it's about choice, right? So, but I don't think the choice has to be pick a side, one of three. I think there should be a choice there where you can manipulate the Institute or the Railroad, or actively convince one of them to be like, yo, this is crazy, let's not shoot each other up, there's already a wasteland out there, like, maybe we put down our arms and try to sort things out, you know, try to figure things so we don't destroy each other. But no, it comes down to the whole issue we have with Mass Effect 3, like, pick one of three choices and then watch the result. I know a friend of mine had had someone who played the game, and they basically like kept a save at a certain point and then just went through it three times and played the ending three times to experience all the endings. And that to me is kind of unfortunate, because and that's the cool thing about The Witcher right now, is where I'm nearing the end game and you're given a choice as to whether you can rush to the end or you can prepare for the end. And the scenario that they set up works really well in that the end game won't start until you actively go do something which will cause basically in layman's terms, the Wild Hunt is hunting Ciri, and Ciri is in hiding. You figure out where Ciri is, and the second you go find Ciri, you will tip off the Wild Hunt. Therefore, you have all the time in the world to collect your allies. And that's a really smart way of designers thinking, like, let's solve this issue for players like Jocelyn and Kazan, so they don't feel pressured to get a bad ending because they want to save the world faster, and, you know, cause less people to die.
I think in this case, it's not even that you need a way to, you know, be able to just do the main quest line. Like, that's not really the issue. The issue is more that, like, you get to a certain point in a story, mm-hmm. and you're presented with two things that you have to choose, and no matter what you choose, it's not what your character would have done. Like, you basically run out of a way to play your character properly. Or maybe not properly, but, like, the way that you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't experienced, like, I'm not at the end of Fallout 4, but I am realizing that is an issue I'm rubbing up against, because my character, the way I, surprise, I try to play the nice guy when I'm playing video games, and in Fallout 4, it's impossible to be.
That's pretty much true.
I can't tell if he's responding to something behind me. But in Fallout 4, it's impossible to be, you know, a peacekeeper. Because you, no matter what, if you choose a side, two of the other sides are being obliterated. And that's what I think is happening. I haven't beat it yet, but, you know, knowing a world where there's nuclear bombs, I think that's probably what's going to happen.
You know. Sorry, the dumb lag.
And this Pony Island thing, I think Kazan may have posted this to the Patreon and then deleted the comment and changed it to Heroes for Game Night. I thought it was a joke, because I hear Pony Island and I just think, like, Hello Kitty MMO. And it's like, what?
Oh, what was the one we always write in our Game of the Year one?
Yeah, like, Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty's Unicorn Sparkle Land or something.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, like, I had not heard of this game and I assumed he was just joking around, because later on I found the comment deleted and it was Heroes. But this game looks interesting, and Steam loves it, overwhelmingly positive. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it looks like 10 out of 10 on Steam, 4.5 out of 5 on Metacritic, and 9.5 out of 10 on Destructoid. So kind of across the board, really well reviewed.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
It looks definitely interesting, like 3D-ish.
Yeah, it's
it's got the red and blue kind of.
Yeah, I can totally see where you're coming at with that. It feels like almost fake 3D, and that it's trying to, like, blur the lines a bit. It's a suspense puzzle game in disguise. You're in limbo, trapped in a malevolent, it's been a long day, and malfunctioning arcade machine devised by the devil himself. It is not a game about ponies.
Okay, I'm just going to start talking, and hopefully, you know, once it eventually kicks on and you guys start hearing this, it'll all just work out. I agree with what Ventigo says. You guys should just not read anything about this. Don't watch videos about it. Don't learn anything about how it plays or about the gameplay or anything. It's very, very much an experience. It is, I can't really say anything, because otherwise I would pretty much ruin what it is. You guys just got to play it, and it's awesome. It's also not super long. I think it took me a few hours to get through it, but I recommend playing through to the end, especially near the end, and also make sure you watch through the end of the credits. So I'm going to go ahead and just get my next question out so you guys can talk about it. Twilight Princess. Okay. So I played this game on the Wii with the Wiimote, and I am such a huge fan of Zelda. I grew up playing Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, and I love the other games like Link to the Past, Link Between Worlds, Seasons, all those different ones. And I love, love, love Zelda. As a matter of fact, the 231 in my name, Kazen 231, is actually reminiscent of the code to get into the first boss room in the first dungeon in Ocarina of Time, and the inside the tree. And so I was really excited when Twilight Princess came out, and I tried playing it on the Wii because I didn't have a GameCube, and it was just, I don't know, I could not get past that first little village. For, I mean, everything on the Wii for me was so grainy and just awful looking that I kind of didn't like playing anything on it. But that beginning was just so different, and it just, for some reason, never could pull me in. So is there something that is just really different by playing it with not a Wiimote? And is there anything else that I should look into that, you know, hopefully pull me into a universe that I already really love?
Well, I know for me specifically, it was very, very hard for me to get into Skyward Sword for that exact same reason. I had never played anything on the Wii before. I played Twilight Princess on the GameCube, so I didn't have that kind of Zelda motion control experience until Skyward Sword. And I remember everyone who had early review copies of Skyward Sword was like, oh my god, it's so beautiful, it looks so great. And then I put Skyward Sword into the Wii and it looked like absolute shit. And like, to the point I went and got new cables, I went and like, I tried literally everything to make it look better. And it turns out, no, it's just a blocky, janky piece of shit. And people were grading on the Wii curve, which I'm just, that's a thing now. Grading Nintendo on the Wii curve. So I can see how, you know, having that experience in Twilight Princess, the motion control coupled with the graphics that really weren't there, would definitely throw you off. I find playing with a controller is so much better. I love playing with a controller anyway. Mm-hmm. So taking the fact that you can use the Pro Controller with the Wii U and it just takes all of that out, as well as the jankiness, because it is an HD version and it looks way, way better. I think it's a whole new experience the second time around. And the better graphics, I think, was part of what really pulled me into Twilight Princess. I actually kind of hope, and even though it's like the Wii title for Zelda, I really hope they just redo Skyward Sword on the Wii U.
As someone who really enjoyed Skyward Sword and kind of understand, like very much understands where Jocelyn was coming from. Like when Skyward Sword came out, like I loved it. But I was very much looking at it with Wii blinders on, because I accepted the fact that the Wii is a console that isn't HD. And that's really, like, it's hard to hold it against it when the Wii came out in a time when HD TVs were sort of not really a thing for a good majority of households. I didn't own an HD TV when we bought the Wii probably 10 years ago. So when I played Twilight Princess on the Wii, I was playing on a tube TV, one that did not support HD. So Twilight Princess looked exactly the same as it did on the GameCube as it did on the Wii. But that being said, fast forward to Skyward Sword when it came out, and I played it on an HD TV. I knew what I was getting into, but for people who have been playing HD games on their PC and Xbox and PlayStation 3 for the last, I guess at that point, 5 years, you kind of expect a certain quality, and that quality is not there because the Wii was not built to produce that quality. So in that sense, Skyward Sword was a great game stuck 5 years ago. You know, if Skyward Sword came out when Twilight Princess came out, I think it would be a very different conversation. Also, if there was no motion control, like that's something that nobody can fix, and they'd have to completely remake that game for it to work without motion controls, which is why they probably are not going to touch it. I think it is coming out on the eShop, but it'll still be the swingy dingy version, you know, is what we call it.
The swingy dingy version.
Yeah, I mean, the Wiimote, right, like, looks suspectedly like a dong. Like, let's just be honest here. But but in terms of Twilight Princess and the intro to that game, it is heralded as the worst intro in Zelda history. And it just got worse with Skyward Sword. Like, that intro was probably twice as long in Skyward Sword.
That was another thing. It was really, really hard to actually get into Skyward Sword. I found Twilight Princess was a little bit easier, but I found it was just like after, like, I mean, I guess Majora's Mask throws you right in, like, literally right away. Ocarina of Time is a little bit slower. I think probably Ocarina of Time and Twilight Princess, for me anyway, the intros kind of felt pretty much the same. And since I knew Twilight Princess was going to be so different, I kind of pushed through, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I didn't have that experience where I found Twilight Princess difficult to get into. I liked that little town.
Yeah. Oh, it's a solid town. I think just for a lot of folks, if they know on the other side of that experience is this great Zelda game, Twilight Princess is kind of renowned for the fluff, like I don't mind the what is it called, the drops of twilight or something, where you're sort of scouting an area and collecting these drops and then returning to that area. It's the classic Nintendo let's retread this area, but
yeah,
I didn't mind it. And that intro is tough, but I mean, if not being HD was one of the main reasons, one of the other reasons you couldn't get through, I think Twilight Sword HD is something totally worth revisiting if you have a Wii U, because it's the best version you'll probably play. You know, you can set the gamepad down in front of you, play with the Pro Controller, sweet amiibo comes with it. If you don't want the amiibo, that's fine. I won't hold it against you. I mean, Jocelyn bought the amiibo. Like, let's be honest. If Jocelyn has the amiibo, you have to get the amiibo, because that means it's a really great amiibo.
I only have two.
Yeah.
One of them is Yoshi.
Yeah, Yarn Yoshi.
Yarn Yoshi, specifically.
That's how you know it's good, because it's made of yarn. But no, that amiibo's fantastic, and if you want a quick load, you're going to need that amiibo.
So true. All right, so I think that's probably going to be it for the Hangout, because we are running into game night time, and we need to get some games in. So, Ryan, what are we playing tonight?
I don't know. We might play Technical Difficulties, but after that, let's play Heroes of the Storm.
Technical difficulties, eh?
We gotta sort out Kazan's audio, because he suggested Heroes.
Oh, I see.
That would be really unfortunate. You guys, I'm dying! I need help! Shit.
Alright, so I am going to end the stream here so that we can figure out all our audio things. If you are a TGI patron and you want to come on and you want to play Heroes, if we get 5, maybe we'll jump into quick match. If we get more than that, then we'll do some kind of a fun custom game. But one way or another, we are probably going to play some Heroes, so I will bring the stream back up momentarily.
Sweet.